You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. And Todd, I think we kind of knew at some point things were going to probably swing the other way as far as luck and the odds of baseball. But the Phillies right now heading into Wednesday action, they've lost 5 in a row, 9 of 11. Seems like things are just kind of catching up with them, in danger of a second straight sweep. Has there been a difference on the field other than, you know, they're not winning one-run games and the run differential is kind of just catching up with them?
Yeah, I really think it's just kind of the law of averages is finally tilting away from the Phillies' favor. They have not been getting outstanding starting pitching in this stretch, and that's kind of what helped them to that hot start and allow them to win a lot of those one-run games. So you combine the fact that the offense remains one of the worst offenses in baseball, and the fact that the starting pitching has not been as sharp, it kind of explains why they are where they are. You know, they're just not going to be able to, if the starting rotation or the pitching staff gives up 4 or 5 runs, you can pretty much pencil in as the Phillies have lost. They're just not able to overcome that type of deficit.
And you mentioned the struggling offense, and that brings us right to kind of, to a degree, breaking news, I guess, as we record this podcast, and that is Coach Mackinnon coming out and saying that Ryan Howard will be benched the next 3 to 4 games. I guess that's not a set amount of time, but Tommy Joseph will be getting the starts for a decent little stretch here, and I guess you got a chance to talk to Ryan Howard a little bit. How is he taking that news?
Actually, he took it pretty well. Pete said to us earlier, before we talked to Ryan, that, you know, his discussion, he called it a great discussion. He said, you know, Howard obviously wasn't happy with the news, but he understood it. He understands where he's at. And quite frankly, Howard really handled himself well, talking about his situation. He knows that he had a really awful, awful May. He knows what his numbers are. He knows that the team is trying to win and look at younger players. And he knows that Tommy Joseph, since he's been called up, has been pretty productive. So you combine all of those things, and he kind of sees the writing on the wall. It's not like he's in the second year of a 6-year contract, a year or two removed from an MVP season, and he's going, what the heck are you guys doing to me? He's in the final year of his contract. His numbers have been steadily decreasing over the past few years. And like I said, his May was pretty bad. He's hitting around 150 or so, and Tommy Joseph has been playing well. So he didn't really have much of an argument to make. And, you know, to his credit, he says, hey, I want to win, and I'm going to work hard to get back. I'm not going to sit here and just relinquish my role. I hope to get it back, and that's my intention.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing he has supplied this year, you mentioned the average 154 heading into Wednesday, the OPS 558, but he has 8 home runs, 19 RBI. So he's had a little bit of a power. I wonder, as we get later in the season, if he's able to get in the lineup here and there and continue to show that pop. Is there any possibility, Todd, that you could see come trade deadline that the Phillies would be able to trade him for something, get something back for Ryan Howard to a team that maybe needs that bat off the bench down the stretch?
Boy, they've tried really hard over the past couple of years to trade Howard and have found nobody interested at all. So I think if Howard is moved at the trade deadline, you know, certainly, actually, you could probably push it to August because of his contract.
Yeah.
You know, he would clear waivers. So they would really have until August 31st to move him. I think if they do move him, it would essentially be just a salary dump. Kind of, you know what, hey, it's not working out here. You're not playing. We can put you in a situation where you might have a chance to go to the postseason, and we'll just let you go. And the Phillies, I assume, would pick up almost all of that remaining salary. But other than that, no, I think it'll be tough. It'll be real tough to move him.
Yeah, I guess my thought was maybe with not much time left in the contract, maybe a team would be taking on the pro rate. But you're right. It would certainly be tough, and you said it. They have certainly tried. The Phillies did also make another move today. They add Jimmy Paredes. They get him from the Blue Jays, who had gotten him not so long ago off of waivers from the Orioles. He's just one of those guys this season that it seems that's kind of just moving around on the carousel, but he's a guy that at times can be a productive player. The defense isn't great, but he can bring a little bit with the bat at times. What do the Phillies hope to get out of Paredes?
You know, I don't think they expect too much, but certainly they expect a little bit better offense from him than they were getting from Emmanuel Burris, who they designated for assignment today. And Pete McKinnon actually spoke pretty highly of him, saying that, you know, he could be one of the – he's actually a better hitter than some of the guys on the team. So I think they're just looking at him. He can play second. He can play a little bit of third. He can play some outfield. Just have him kind of move around a little bit and maybe give them a little bit more than what they were getting from Emmanuel Burris. Because while they loved Emmanuel Burris in the clubhouse, he was positive. Teammates really loved him. He was a good guy to be around. You know, he just was not able to come up with a hit in the pinch hitting situation or come up with a hit on those rare opportunities when he had the chance to start. So just a little bit more production, I think, is all they're looking for.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I think in a lot of his stops, teams don't love that the defense isn't great, but the Phillies are actually a spot where I think they'll at this point sacrifice the
right
defense to get a little of that offense in the lineup for sure. You mentioned the pitching hasn't been as great. Aaron Nola, though, was good again on Tuesday. Six innings, two earned runs, six strikeouts. When you see the slow development of Aaron Nola, I guess he's been up since now July of last year, so he's getting closer to that one-year anniversary of his big league debut. The maturity seems to really be there, and this guy seems to really be comfortable in himself right now and exactly where the Phillies would like him to be right now.
Yeah, he's really kind of – it's tough to say this about a first-round draft pick, but he's kind of exceeding expectations because I think we might have talked about this before. When he was drafted, pretty much every scout said he projected to be a solid number three starter, whatever that means. I guess it means not an ace and not quite an ace, a solid number three starter. But the more you watch him pitch, he might not be, you know, ace material, but boy, he's really kind of looking to be that kind of really good number two. And I've talked to some scouts recently who agree with that assessment. They see him as being maybe a little bit better than originally projected. The Phillies took him because they thought he'd be a good solid pitcher, and I think they're pleasantly surprised with his continued development, his maturity. He has a really good head on his shoulders. He's very competitive, and he really has been a pleasant surprise, I guess. So.
Yeah, I remember when he was drafted, people thought a lot about him, but the big reason was he had a really high floor. And they talk about high ceilings and high floors. He seemed to be kind of a can't-miss guy as far as what you said, like a three- or four-starter. So he's a guy that went high because of that. But, for a guy like that that you take with safety in mind, for him to become a two and a borderline one, that's a great job by the scouting group, I guess, and a great pick by the Phillies. And that brings us directly into next week, Todd, with the draft quickly coming upon us here, about a week to go until draft day. Phillies, obviously, with the number one overall pick. We talked a couple of podcasts ago about this, and at that time, it really felt like things were still very much up in the air, what direction the Phillies were looking. From what I've heard now, it's kind of gone back to where things started. A.J. Puk more likely the guy again. Is that what you're hearing? I mean, I know he was very good against LSU in his last outing. It seemed like maybe that was enough to push him over the top. Have you heard anything different or the same?
You know what? Here's what I've heard, that you know, like we mentioned a couple of podcasts ago, they really loved Puk early on. Like last year, it seemed like that was absolutely going to be the guy. Then they kind of went back and forth. I think Puk is kind of maybe made things a little bit more interesting for the Phillies for sure. And that performance, like you just mentioned, against LSU, I think has really turned some heads and kind of has the Phillies thinking a little bit more. You know, if he had gone out and struggled, it might be not that this decision is going to be easy for the Phillies, but I think now it makes them pause a little bit and look at him a little bit more closely and go, okay, is this really the guy? That said, conversations I've had still seem to indicate that they are leaning towards the bat. Now, let me put it this way. It would not surprise me at all if they ended up picking A.J. Puk, but it seems like they are leaning towards the bat, that one of these bats they like enough to maybe take him with the first overall pick. If that's Kyle Lewis at Mercer, if it's Mickey Moniak, Blake Rutherford, the high school outfielder from California, there's a couple other guys out there that have gotten some attention. But I tell you what, it's really going to be interesting to see who they pick, because unlike previous years, you talk to everybody, there's really nobody that you go, yeah, this person the last couple of weeks has totally established himself as the top pick. You know, there's certainly not a Steven Strasburg or Bryce Harper draft, but even in past drafts, it seems like there's always been a guy that kind of really pushes himself to the, towards the top, and I don't really see that right now. But, I think there's like one of four or five guys that I think the Phillies could take.
Yeah, and I think there's two sides to that. On one hand, you'd love for there to be a clear-cut superstar like Steven Strasburg or Bryce Harper. But on the other hand, if there's a bunch of guys that are about the same level, they play different spots, it allows you to maybe go in the direction you'd like to go without just saying, okay, we have to take this guy. He's the best guy, because you have a bunch of guys that are about the same. You take the guy you like the most. So, I mean, I guess that's half glass full. Glass half empty, but it's one way to go about it. So it'll certainly be interesting, and it's going to make for a fun final week leading up to the draft. Do you think there's a point along this final week where they just kind of are set on who they're going to take? Is it the day before the draft, or are they a team that could be still tossing things around right up until the final hours?
Well, you know, the only thing I can really judge that by is even like the last Rule 5 draft, you know, they had the first overall pick. And going into the winter meetings last December, you know, they were still undecided on who they were going to pick a week out. And really, even a few days out, they really weren't sure who they were going to go to. There was a lot of debate going on at the winter meetings on who they would end up picking. So I kind of imagine it'll be the same thing. You know, there's certainly nothing wrong. You want to get this pick right. So I think there's going to be a lot of conversations about it leading up to it. And like I said, because I don't think anybody's really totally established themselves as the bona fide favorite, I think there's going to be a lot of debate, good discussion about who that guy is going to be.
It'll be a lot of fun. All right, great stuff as always, Todd. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.